been talking about Parshas Korach, and we spoke first about some issues of Hibadlu and Healu to separate ourselves from Korach Vahadaso, and now let's move on to another issue which Parshas Korach presents for us, and that is the issue of Machlokas. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach Vahadaso get into a very fierce disagreement in our Parsha, and in the end, Korach has his very end, and he's punished, he gets destroyed, and all of his Eda also get destroyed. And from here we learn that lo yehe ke korach va'adasa. From here we learn that machlokas is something that is a terrible thing, and the end of somebody who chooses to be involved in machlokas is going to be not a positive one at all. In fact, I saw something interesting in the Chavos Yair. He writes, well, how is Korach supposed to know that? We only say now lo yehe ke korach va'adasa. That teaches us not to be like Korach and have picking fights and make a machlokas, but how could Korach be punished if he didn't know that? Says the Chavos Yair, davar sheyesh lamdo misvara. Anything that's so obvious, that's so obviously a virtue that we're not supposed to be doing. Machlokas is something that any normal person would say is something that nobody should be involved in. And obviously he says, you get punished even if you didn't read the pasuk. Even if you don't know that lo yehe ke korach va'adaso, you still get punished, which is a very fascinating concept that we should assume that way, that Korach gets punished even though he didn't yet know the halacha of lo yehe ke korach va'adaso. We only learn it out from him and from the story that he went through. Rashi writes in the beginning of our parsha, Parsha zu yafa nidreshes. Rashi writes, this parsha is very beautifully explained, very beautifully darshaned in, Rashi means in the Medrash Tanchuma. That's what he means to say, that the whole story of Korach is very difficult to understand. And Rashi's telling us, if you look in the Medrash, you'll have a lot of insight as to what exactly was going on behind the scenes of what the Chumash tells you. So there's a Sefer the Prima Gadim wrote, a Sefer on Chumash. And in that Sefer, the Prima Gadim takes Rashi al derech hadrash a little bit, and he says, well, obviously, Rashi really means to say, Parsha zu yafa nidreshes, if you look in the Medrash, you'll have an insight into what's going on. But says the Prima Gadim, maybe it means something else. Prima Gadim writes that perhaps the added level of meaning here is as follows. Every Shabbos, a rabbi has an obligation to give a drasha. And the rabbi is supposed to give a drasha about Inyan HaDiyoma. You're supposed to give a drasha about something that's relevant either to that time of year or to the weekly Parsha. So he says, if somebody would get up this week and talk about Parshas Vayera, he would talk about the Akedah, he would talk about Lod, he would talk about Rivka and Yaakov, we would say, what kind of rabbi is this? We're going to fire him. We want a drasha on this week's Parsha. We don't want a drasha on a different Parsha. Says the Prima Gadim. But Parshas Zu Yafin Idreshes, a rabbi who gets up any Shabbos of the year and talks about this Parsha, Parshas Korach, Yafin Idreshes, he did a good job. Why? Because this is something that unfortunately is always relevant. This is something, Machlokas is something that our communities always suffer from. And therefore, says the Prima Gadim, maybe that's what Rashi means. Parsha zu yafa nidreshes, any week of the year that you choose to talk about machlokas is always a good idea, because it's something that should always be on the forefront of our consciousness. It's something we always have to be careful to stay very far away from. The Medrash writes in our Parsha, Rav Acha b'shem Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, Kasha hi ha-machlokas kedar ha-mabul. What greater destruction do we have in history than the Dor HaMabul? Vatishacheis ha-aretz melefnei Hashem, melefnei Elokim, and God decides to destroy the world, and then he sends us the Keshas to say, I promise I'm never going to do it again. Yet, says the Medrash, Pashahiya Machkas Kedar HaMabul. If we have a community that's embroiled in a machlokas, that's the same as Vatishacheis ha'aretz lefnei Elokim. That's the same as the world being as corrupt as the Dor HaMabul. And the Medrash goes on to learn it from a pasuk. The Medrash then says, Gadol Hashalom Musnua HaMachlokas. This is something we have to stay very, very far away from. There's a powerful insight. Obviously, none of us would ever say it, but it's a powerful insight that was written in a Sefer by one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman. Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman is one of the great Gedolim in Bnei Brak nowadays. And he said the following. He said, Anashim Rabim Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. There are many individuals who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, who are from Jews. Sivurim, we think, Ki Anashim Yichutz L'machana. We say, yeah, those people out there, Anashim Yichutz L'machana, the people, the Reform, the Conservative, those who don't know anything, the unaffiliated, Tzrichim Lachshav B'tshuva Shleima. Come on, they're going to non-kosher restaurants. They don't keep Shabbos. They're eating on Yom Kippur. They're the ones who need a tshuva shlema. Halohim ochle nevedos atrefos ve'enim evinim. They don't understand the mitzvahs. They don't know the averas. They're the ones that are really destroying the Jewish people. Avol yesh nevedos atrefos sha'anachnu ochlim. Says Rabbi Leib Steinman, there's plenty of nevedos atrefos that we ourselves are responsible for eating as well. Ve'eluhem, and what are the nevedos atrefos of our community? Of the Yirei Shamayim, of the Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, he says, Sinas Chinam, Machlokes, V'chol Anyanam Shebein Adam L'Chaveru. All this fight that we have, all the Machlokes that we find in all of our communities, is something that, don't start pointing fingers at everybody else and say, oh, just imagine the tshuva that they need. Says Rabbi Leib Steinman, let's look inward a little bit and think about how much we are responsible, how much we do, how much we contribute to the problem of our society. Then he goes a step further and says something that, again, none of us would ever say. Bizman ha'acharon, in the last couple of years, hisrabu kol kach yisomim v'almanos. We know there are so many unfortunate stories that we see, that we are aware of, that we're familiar with. There are so many yisomim and almanos. Mi yodea, he says, im lo ba'avona machlokas ira kol zos. Who's to say that all of this punishment that we get, the collective punishment that we suffer as a Jewish people, who said it's because of those who are eating treifas and because of those who are eating on Yom Kippur and driving to shul on Shabbos? Who said it's not because we are not careful enough about the machlokas that we create in our own communities? And then he says, well, why is it fair? The family that loses a father, the family that loses a sibling, a child, something like that, they're not the ones who are involved in it. He goes on to a whole explanation as to why he thinks it's still justified. But yet he says, we have to do an introspection once in a while as well and think about the nevelus hatreifas, so to speak, that our own communities, the Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, are also responsible for contributing to the greater Jewish problem that we have. The Medrash writes very famously in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, Vayara Lakim Kitov, on the third day of creation, we're told, that's when the first time it says Kitov. That's why the minhag is to get married on that day as well, because that's Kitov, there's something special about that day. Says the Gemara, says the Medrash, why is it that only, I'm sorry, B'sheni, why is it only on the second day it says Kitov? What's so special about Kitov on the second day of creation over and above any other day? Rabbi Yochanan Tani La B'shem Rabbi Yosef B'shem Chalaf Shabon Niver Gehenim. I'm sorry, I'm saying it backwards. Come on, someone should have stopped me. Why is it that on the second day of creation it doesn't say Kitov? Every other day of creation is so wonderful, it says Kitov, God creates the world for all of us to enjoy. But on the second day of creation it doesn't say Kitov. Why not? Says the Medrash, number one, because maybe Gehenna was created on that day. Well, it's not so wonderful, it's not so positive, so we're not going to say Kitov. Alternatively, says the Medrash, Rab Chanina Omer, Shebo Nivras HaMachlokas, because on that day, the second day of creation, is the day that Machlokas was created. How do we know that? Shenemar. Vihi mavdil bein mayim lamayim. The world used to be one big ocean, all together, one body of water, and now there was a separation. There was some sort of machlokas that took place. Amarav tevyumi, and the Medrash goes and comments on that the water, mayim halyonim and tachtonim, were split. Im machlokas shehili tikuno shel olam uli yeshuvo. If that's considered a machlokas, and that was something that was for the advancement of the world, that was something for the betterment, for the positive nature of the world. How can we have a world, how can we have a society that's going to live on water? It cannot be. That's why God had to separate the mayim halyonim from the mayim atachtonim, and yet we say that's a good enough reason not to be called ki tov, because machlokas was generated. Machlokas shehi l'rebuva alachas kama v'kama, said the Medrash. If we get involved in machlokas, that's not li yeshuva shalolim. That's not to help anybody out. It's not to advance all that we try to do in this world. Obviously, that's something that we cannot say kitov about. In Sefer Shoftim, there's a pasuk, the story about Yiftach, and he's fighting with his brothers. And the pasuk says, Vayivrach Yiftach mipnei echa vayeshev be'eretz tov. It says that Yiftach runs away from his brothers, and he goes to an eretz tov. And the mefarshim are bothered, what is this Eretz Tov that we don't know exactly what it's referring to? Which part of the country, which part of the land did he run away to? What's considered so much more superior than any other land? Some of Farshim suggest what it means is, well, anything is better than the place where he is right now, because right now he's embroiled in a machlokas with his brothers. He runs away to an Eretz Ki Tov, because anywhere away from the machlokas is already considered something that is Ki Tov based on our Medrash over here. There's a Sefer that was written about 850, 900 years ago, called Milas Hamidus. It's a Musar Sefer. I think it's probably one of the oldest Musar Sfarim that we have in our libraries. But there, he has a whole chapter about Machlokas. And he says as follows, Dabani, ki midas ha-machlokas hi mida senua u-meshuketzes me'od be'enei ha-makom. This is something that is so shameful, so despicable, for us to be involved in Machlokas. V'ha-mida ha-arua ha-zos. And where does all of this terrible Machlokas come from? Where does it generate from? Yonekes mishte midas harechilus v'lashon hara. It all stems from the fact that we're not careful about lashon hara samrechilus. So we start saying something about somebody else, and then somebody else hears what we said, and somebody mishears and overhears, and then a whole machlokas breaks out, when really we could have saved ourselves had we only been careful in the first place about lashon hara machlokas. Shegamhi midas snua umeshuketzes me'od be'enei ha'makom. That's what he writes. That's the root of much of the evil that we find in our communities, and much of the reason why machlokas breaks out, because we're not careful in the first place about lashon hara and rechilus. On the pasuk in Parashas Shemos, we have Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he sees two people fighting, and then he kills the Mitzri, and then later on he hears the next day that he has to be afraid for his life because he hears that somebody snitched on him, somebody told on him. Listen to a powerful medrash over there. The medrash writes there in Parsha Shemos, Achei noda adavar. Moshe Rabbeinu says, now I see, everyone found out what I did yesterday. Now I better run for my life. And he runs away to Midian. Says the medrash as follows, Hayamoshe mahar beliba va'omer. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting and thinking to himself, I'm watching all the terrible oppression that's going on. The Mitzrim are killing the Jewish people. They're making them suffer so terribly. Ma chote Yisrael shenishtabdu mikal ha'umos. What do we ever do wrong? Why do we deserve such punishment? Why are we deserving of the Shibud Mitzrayim? Why are we deserving of all these horrible things, the atrocities that took place in the times of Mitzrayim? And Moshe Rabbeinu is mahara b'libo. He can't figure it out. Kivin sheshama devarav. Once he hears that somebody says, oh, halahargeni ata ose. He hears that someone's willing to pick a fight with him. He says to himself, Amar, lashon hara and machlokes yesh b'neihem. This is what our community is all about. Somebody's going to snitch on somebody else and everybody's fighting with each other. Eich yi yuru'uyim l'gu'ula, says Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't question God anymore. Yeah, we wonder what's with the Shiva Mitzrayim, what did we do wrong? Now that I see with my own eyes, says none other than Moshe Rabbeinu, that we're so involved in machlokes, that's how far we have fallen. That's what we're so busy with in our days. Now, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Eich yi yuru'uyim l'gu'ula. How should it be possible that God should actually lift us up and grant us a gu'ula? Doesn't make any sense. The Medrash writes, Bo re'e kamakasha machlokas. Look how serious God takes machlokas in a very serious way. Shekala ozer b'machlokas. Anyone who helps out to bolster a machlokas and make it continue, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'abed es zichro. God will make your name be forgotten. Shekachsi, because it says, Ve'esh yatsa me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'atochel es chamishim u'masayim ish. And it says that all of Korach v'Adasa were forgotten. There is no remembrance of them at all. There's no semblance of their influence in the world. And in fact, the Medrash then goes on to say, Shebezdin Shamala. We know that Bezdin Shamala, someone's chayiv, Misa Midei Shamayim. When do they start punishing a person? Only once they turn 20 years old. Says the Medrash, Bezdin Shamala only punishes at 20. Bezdin Shamata, our world, punishes already at 13, at Bar Mitzvah. However, he says, Machlukuso Shal Korach. Even though in Shamayim they only punish at 20, and in the Aretz, down in our world, we only punish at 13, still says the Medrash, when it comes to somebody who's involved in Machlokas, like the story of Korach, Afilu Tinoka Shal Beis Yoman, Shal Bnei Yoman Nisrufu V'Nivlu B'Sh'ol Tachtios. Even the smallest infant, much younger than 13 years old, much younger than 20, got swallowed up in the ground, was destroyed because of Korach V'Adaso. And from here, says the Medrash, gives us a little bit of an insight as to how seriously machlokes is shunned upon in the Mamari Chazal that we've quoted. Because not only do we wait till 20, not only do we wait till 13, but even a young child, Tinok Ben Yomo, is already considered enough to deserve the punishment. Reb Chaim Falaji, who lived at the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s, writes in one of his Svarim as well, Aniha Gever, listen to this. He says, I have lived through life, and I have experience, and I'm a community man, and I'm out there, and I watch different things that go on in all different communities. Rasa Einai, my own eyes have seen. Miyomsha Amadit Aldaiti, from the time that I was old enough to understand. Ki kol ish vi ish, mishpacha u mishpacha. Every individual person, every single family, medina u medina, every community, ear vi ear, Shahayu Beinei Machlokes. Any place in my lifetime that I saw that there was Machlokes going on, Lo Yatsu Nikim Habeis Kitos. Both sides of the argument never came out unscathed. Vinilku Bein Begufan Bein Bin Mamona. He says, I saw with my own eyes that every time there was a Machlokes that happened between two parties, neither of them came out without damage, without harm. And he says, some of them lost physically. Some of them got sick over it. Some of them lost monetarily. Some of them lost emotionally. But he says, every time I had the unfortunate opportunity to be involved in watching a machlokas unfold, it was something that always left a very lasting impression on the people who were involved in it. They never came out being the same. And therefore he says, why not think about that before we get involved? Why should we want to lose ourselves and our money and our time and our energies and our physical bodies over a machlokas that's so meaningless? What are we going to get out of it already? Listen to an unbelievable story, then we'll go into Mincha. I saw a story in the biography of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he writes, when he was a child, he said to his Talmidim in Kol Torah that when he was a child, lived in Shaarei Chesed his whole life, and when he was a child, there was a message that came to Shaarei Chesed that there was a great tzaddik, Rabbi Aaron HaKohen. Yesterday we spoke about a different son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, who was Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Levinson. Today we're going to talk about Rabbi Aaron HaKohen, who was the other son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. So he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a big tumult. Everybody heard he was coming. Nobody knew where he was going to move. So the message comes through to Shaarei Chesed that Rabbi Aaron HaKohen has chosen to live in Shaarei Chesed, clear out the way, we're going to make a big parade tomorrow, he's coming here, everyone should come make a big Kabbalah Spanim for him, and they emptied out a big fancy apartment, that's where he should live, they wanted him to be the Rav of the community. So Rabbi Aaron HaKohen comes, and he sees that everybody comes out to greet him, and they're giving him a lot of respect, a lot of honor, and it's great. Comes to shul the next day, and everybody sits him up in the front, everybody's waiting for him for Shemona Esrei, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's great. 2-3 days go by, all of a sudden Rabbi Aaron HaKohen is nowhere to be seen. So somebody thought, maybe he got sick, he had a long trip here, it took him a long time to get it from Europe, and sometimes people used to get sick in those days from the traveling conditions that they used to have. So nobody said anything, they figured he's sick at home. A whole week goes by, they haven't seen him in shul, nobody's seen him in the streets, somebody decides, the Gabbai HaKehila decides he has to go and knock on the door, find out it's his responsibility. He's the one who encouraged everyone to come and welcome this tzaddik. And now all of a sudden, a week goes by, we haven't seen him. So he goes and he knocks on the door, nobody answered. He bangs down the door and he sees nobody there. So he comes back to Shul and Shaarei Chesed, the Grush Shul, and he asks, anybody has seen Rabbi Aaron HaKohen? He came here a week and a half ago. He showed up Shul 2 days in a row. After that, he's nowhere to be seen. He's been gone for a week. Has anyone seen him? So there was an old Yid there in the Shul, in the Grush Shul, and he says, yes, actually, a couple of days ago, I saw Rabbi Aaron HaKohen pack up all his belongings and I saw him get on a wagon. He left town. So nobody knew what was going on. So they send out the word, anybody know where Rabbi Aaron HaKohen is? So they find out that he moved to Yafo. Now Yafo was not a particularly religious neighborhood like Shaarei Chesed was at that time. So they go and they send a few of the Chashuvei HaKehila, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, they send a few of the very respected members of the community to go and find Rabbi Aaron HaKohen and ask him what happened. They come into his apartment there in Yafo and they ask him what was happening. And he said everything was fine, and he then says to them, I would imagine that you're wondering why it is that I skipped town. You're probably wondering why it is that now I moved my residence to Yafo, and I'm no longer in Shaarei Chesed. I'll tell you what happened. He says, before I decided to leave Radin, before I decided to leave my father-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, I asked my father-in-law for some advice. I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. My father-in-law was very proud and very happy that I was doing so. But I asked him, where should I live? I have a few options of where to live. Should I live in Yerushalayim? Should I live in Tzvat? Should I live in Yafo? Should I live in Tel Aviv? In Hebron? Many different places I can live. Where should I go? The Chafetz Chaim told him the following. You can live wherever you want. All communities are great. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. Hebron is Hebron. What can be bad? Go wherever you want. But promise me one thing, he said. Promise me that if there's a machlokas, you will not live in that community. And even if you move into a community and a machlokas breaks out, you're going to pick up right away and leave that community and not keep your family in that environment. And he makes a shvua b'tkiyas kaf, he says. He says, I made a shvua. I promised my father-in-law that I would never do that to his grandchildren. That I would never allow my family to live in a community where there was machlokas. The second day that I moved into Shaarei Chesed, I come into shul in the morning, and two people are fighting who's going to be the gabbai for Kriyas HaTorah. He says, I pick myself up in the middle of davening. I said, look, I promised my father-in-law I'm never going to do it. I said, I cannot even waste another moment. He said, I ran home in the middle of davening, told my wife, pack up the bags. If this is what the community is like, I cannot stay here. Reb Shlomo Zalman said it made such a lasting impression on him that even when he was an older man, he was so afraid of getting involved in a machlokas because he had remembered as a child this story about Rabbi Aaron HaKohen who came to Shaarei Chesed and left over some narishkeit, some little thing that took place in the middle of davening, fighting over the yamid, fighting over gabbos, whatever it was, some nothingness. And yet he said it made such an impact on his life to remind him all the time that machlokas is something lo yiyeh kekarach v'adosa. Machlokas is something we need to distance ourselves from in such a profound way, and it's something that we do not take chances of. That's the only thing the Chafetz Chaim made his son promise him before he left him, that he would never get anywhere near a machlokas, and if a machlokas broke out, he would do whatever he could to get out of town as quickly as possible.